Question number one, is freeze-dried food good or bad? Over the last 2 to 3 years, basically, there has been a bit of a boom in terms of freeze-dried food. And for dogs and to a lesser extent, for cats. And there's a lot of people wanting to try it out. There's a lot of people asking questions about it. And I think manufacturers are not doing a very good job to describe them and to tell the benefits of freeze-dried food. Freeze-dried food is, as I like to describe it, microbiologically raw, is at its core very, very raw. It's not ultra processed, it's not kibble, it's not extruded, it's something that's minimally processed. And we know our food that we consume, that the less you process something, the better it is for you. And it's very much applied the same to your dog. The less intervenience between the food that your dog consumes and your dog, the better for your dog. And this is the case with freeze-dried dog food or cat food. It's essentially, again, raw but without the moisture, so you can actually store it whatever you want and it won't go bad as quickly as raw does. Now, the one thing I don't like about freeze-dried food is the price. The price is exorbitant. If a freeze-dried food is good enough, and there's plenty of those about, the price of each and every single one of those is astronomical. I'm not rich or anything, so it's hard for me to recommend a freeze-dried food over simply just raw food. I don't think those manufacturing cost at scale have come down enough so that it's widely available and it's a bit more affordable for people. There's two or three manufacturers off the top of my head that I can think of, and those are incredible. They are wonderful. We don't sell their products, so I'm not going to name names, but the what I've seen, the ingredients they use, they care a lot about what goes into the food. And again, it's minimally processed, so anything you give your dog or yourself that's minimally processed is just a lot better than anything that's extruded or cooked at extremely high temperatures, like kibble, for example, like certain kibble, and that's not going to be as good for your dog. Having said that, the cost is prohibitive, and the industry and the manufacturers need to do a much better job to bring down those costs so everybody can enjoy freeze-dried food for their dogs or cats, essentially. Thank you very much for the question. Second question is, it's more a bit of a statement, and it says that most pet food companies are owned by large food corporations that make junk food for humans. It's all about quarterly profits, not health, for pets and humans. And it is hard to disagree with statements like these. The pet food industry is an industry that's very well consolidated. Consolidating in M&A means that big companies acquire small companies and everything gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And because things get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the top two or three companies in the world in regards to pet care have acquired so many companies, they can literally drive down cost, improve supply chain issues, improve supply chains essentially, and the profit margins tend to increase because, yes, they are a business and they want to make as much money as possible. Now, in terms of quarterly profits, well, yes, Nestle is a huge, huge player in pet food. So is Colgate Palmolive, and so is Mars Incorporated. Yes, they're a chocolate company, and they are not a public company. Mars is not a public company, it's a private company. And to tell you to what extent the industry is consolidated, let's look at some of the brands that, for example, Mars Incorporated own. They own Caesar, Chappie, Crave, Yukonuba, Dreamies, Iams, you have Greenies, we have Misfits, we have James Well-Beloved, Nachusan, Pedigree. They've recently acquired Origin and Akana, which are or were Canadian. They own Royal Canin, they own Sheba, they own Whiskers, they own Temptations. Some of those foods, say Whiskers or Temptations or Sheba or Pedigree, you will see some of the ingredients as meat and animal derivatives of vegetable origin. They will put sugar in pet food to make it more appealing to cats in the case of Dreamies, for example. In the UK, Dreamies contain cereals and meat and animal derivatives. Same with Chappie, and these foods are very, very subpar in our opinion. These are foods that should come nowhere near your pet, and we would not recommend them. We always recommend you to read the ingredients for everything you give your dog. And some of these foods are completely atrocious, and you only have to read the ingredients. The meat and animal derivatives, the cereals, the corn, the soybean oils, and all these subpar ingredients are horrible. Now, Mars have recently acquired, as I said before, in the past few years, Crave, Akana, and Origin. And those are at the top biologically, and they use better ingredients for my liking. And full disclosure, by the way, we stock some of the Crave treats, and we stock Akana and Origin at this time of recording. And if you look at the ingredients, we think that those ingredients are really good for dogs. Those are foods or treats that are very highly rated in the pet food industry, and that's why we sell them. We choose not to sell James Well Beloved. We don't recommend it, we don't like it. We think that they use a huge amount of filler in the food, and we are very principled people. There's things we will not sell out of principle, even if we leave money on the table, I don't care. So yes, that's Mars. Colgate Palmolive, the company that does this to our teeth, they own Hill's prescription diets, and again, those foods contain sugar, corn, your animal fats, which are unspecific, and we would not recommend those. And that is a huge, huge player in the pet food industry. And then for Nestle, which is the biggest food company in the world, I believe, they have Purina, Purina One, Purina Pro Plan, Purina Veterinary Diets. They have Friskies, they have Dental Life, they have Felix. And again, all these brands and all these ingredients are subpar. The ingredients aren't there. They use a tremendous amount of fillers, and rice is a lot cheaper than meat. Hence why they put more rice, and that's why they put more wheat. That's why they put more barley than meat, because meat costs more money than anything else. So that's why they're huge. They operate at economies of scale. And to be perfectly honest, we do not agree with some of the brands we see here. So yes, thank you so much for your question. It's hard to disagree with it. Most of pet shops say Royal Canin is the most recommended dry food in my country. Yes, is Royal Canin also bad? And where is the Q&A? Well, this is the Q&A, and we do a weekly Q&A where you can ask whatever you want. You can leave a comment down below, and we will try to get to you at some point, although there is a bit of a backlog, and there will always be a bit of a backlog. But anyway, Royal Canin is probably, if not number one it's probably number two or number three of the biggest, the most popular brands of food, of pet food in the whole wide world. And Royal Canin is one of those foods that whenever you look at it and whenever you see it, you think it's a phenomenal food. The packaging looks amazing, all the veterinary nomenclatures are incredible. From a marketing standpoint, it's phenomenal. They are in some of the vets in the UK, in some of the vets all over the world, and it's a pretty horrendous food from a nutritional standpoint, if I am being completely honest with you. Royal Canin is one of those brands that I would not recommend. And there's always people who come out of the woodwork and say, well, my dog has been a Royal Canin for 9 years and he's been a very, very healthy dog. And that's absolutely fine, let me tell you. If you love Royal Canin, if you love Purina, if you love the food you are giving your dog, then more power to you. I'm just a guy giving my opinion. But from a nutritional standpoint, whenever we dissect and we try to identify what we are actually giving the dog, it's very hard to know what we are giving the dog because the ingredients are very vague. The animal fats and the corn and the wheat and the barley, those are very, very, very questionable ingredients for a meat and bone eater like your dog or an obligate carnivore if you have a cat. So if you have a cat, you should steer away from Royal Canin, in my opinion. And if you have a dog, you should do that too. If you want to feed Royal Canin, be my guest and more power to you. And I wish you nothing but the best. I am not trying to be confrontational at all. The fourth question is not going to be a question. I'm just going to talk about my Vets for Pets experience. Vets for Pets is a chain of veterinary practices in the UK and it is owned by Pets at Home. And I give Pets at Home and Vets for Pets a pretty hard time because some of the foods they recommend are absolutely atrocious. It's the same thing that we've always pondered and we've always harped on in this channel, and that is we cannot have sugar in pet food. We cannot have wheat in pet food. We cannot give our dog 50-60% rice. We can't give our dogs meat and animal derivatives, oils and fats. We can give our dogs animal fats, which is unspecific. At the end of the day, the dog doesn't know. You are making the choice for your dog. And if you don't know, because I haven't told you or because no one else has told you, then you just go along with it and you become part of the system. And the system is designed to suck money out of you and not give you the best advice is what's good for them. But anyway, we went to Vets for Pets with Leo, the love of my life, basically. And I had an incredibly positive experience with Vets for Pets. A young gentleman saw my dog and the dog is doing well. The dog had a bit of an ear infection and he could have not been any nicer. He could have not been any friendlier, any more helpful. He was wonderful. He was polite. He was playing with the dog. He took an interest. He was definitely interested. He made some really apt comments. He was not out of line. He wasn't talking out of his backside. And I just want to say that if you find a vet that's trustworthy and that you are happy with, you should really treasure that and you should really value that because they are hard to come by, just like in any other profession. But I just want to say that Vets for Pets on this occasion were absolutely wonderful and hey, more power to them. And the fifth thing we want to say is, this is the fun fact of the day, is that the oldest known dog fossil is 31,700 years old. That's how old the oldest known fossil is coming from a dog, which means that dogs have been with us for a very, very long time. They have been our best friend for so many years, and we have been able to enjoy them, and we have been able to be with them and them being with us for such a long time. So that's something to be treasured. And with that, I will leave you to it. Comment down below if you wish to, if you have a question, if you require a consultation, you can reach us on thepetquarter.co.uk, and I will see you in the next one.